stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. I'm Janine Yunus. I'm here with Mark Chenoweth and our colleague Andy Morris.
Afternoon, Janine.
Andy recently filed an opening brief in National Center for Public Policy versus the SEC in the Eighth Circuit. Andy, can you tell us a little bit about the issue?
Sure. Be happy to. This is the issue in a word is climate, but let me tell you how we get there. This is an example of a fair number of cases that come from what I guess we call the whole of government approach, which is an administration decides it has a policy issue it wants to address, and here it's climate, and it puts out the word that every agency, no matter what its bailiwick, should find some way to do something about climate. And so here, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, has issued a set of rules that require every public company, that's every big company that files with the SEC, to make a whole bunch of disclosures that are supposedly, that are related to climate and supposedly necessary.
Like about how their company is impacting climate change or what's
That's a great question. They are, before I explain, give some examples, it's virtually unique for the Securities and Exchange Commission, whose job, one of whose jobs is to make sure there's accurate financial disclosure so investors can evaluate companies. They don't issue area-specific requirements. And whether it's financial impact or not, we want to know about climate. And so the SEC requires companies, wants to require companies to say several things about climate. They want them to have to describe what the SEC considers certain climate-related costs. They want the company to have to assess risks or forward-looking, what might happen with the climate, what might governments do that might impose new costs, and the company to give estimates for those. And there's more. They want companies to describe their climate-related targets and goals.
So, and this is all companies, or are there?
This is all public companies, all companies that are on stock exchanges. And that's a great question, because one of the problems with this rule is that these disclosures, there are reasons we get into, are terrifically expensive to figure out. A lot of estimates. You're legally on the hook once you put it out there, so they have to hire these very expensive consultants to put a stamp on the numbers. And one of the problems that comes out of this rule, and I'll get to the rule, is that it discourages more public companies. There's been a big problem for 10 to 15 years, a significant decline in the number of public companies, which matters because for regular investors, that's how they can invest in the economy at large. So this makes it harder for it discourages companies from going public.
Right.
So it's expensive.
So it's sort of, it's a myopic view looking at one issue without respect to all of the, you know.
That's our take on it. Yes, imposing costs without any benefit. Right. I'll get to some of the controversies about it.
Those are the policy issues. But then what are the legal issues that you raised?
Well, there's a lot of them. I'll put them in two categories. I mean, they are the process by which the rules were issued is unlawful. Right. And then the rules themselves are unlawful. And the process, without getting into details, was unlawful because rules have to be basically rationally based. The lawyer's terms, arbitrary and capricious. And here, the SEC wasn't able to really come up with any evidence there was a need for the rule. Right. There's no evidence that anyone has ever been defrauded because they bought stock and didn't have enough information about the company's climate dimensions.
Right.
There wasn't demand for this information other than from climate activists, or climate people, not financial people. Right. And the numbers were not significant enough that they would be what lawyers call material. Material means it matters to investors.
Right.
And since the SEC started 90 years ago, the standard has been if something matters to investors, a financial number, it has to be disclosed.
Well, just to play devil's advocate, wouldn't the SEC say that the reason for the rule is so that it's not about investors? It's just about maybe allowing people to decide which companies they're going to do business with. So if a company is doing good things with respect to climate change, they'll buy their products. And if not, then they won't.
You're right as a devil's advocate that that's what the SEC would say, and indeed basically does say. The problem is that's not what the law permits the SEC to do. They're not entitled under the statutes, which were passed during the New Deal, now are 90 years old, that talk about financial disclosure, looking out for investors, disclosing financial numbers that matter to investors. It does not give the SEC the authority to say, we're interested in this policy area, and we think investors might be too, even though we don't have any evidence it affects the value of their investments.
Right.
Even though we don't have any evidence it defrauds anybody or affects how they evaluate the stocks.
So you're saying that a shareholder needs climate disclosure rules like a fish needs a bicycle?
Well, you might. That's a new use of that quote. But I think that's very good because I have not heard that one in a while. But that's what the record shows is there wasn't any need for it, and for that reason. The agency can't issue a rule unless it can show there's some need. If it can show there's a lot of fraud in this area, and so we need to tighten disclosures. But here it didn't do that.
So agencies can't just issue rules because they think it would be good.
Well, they can. That's one of the problems with the whole of government approach is you see that agencies that have agendas here, it's climate. We have other cases that are in other areas. They take the problem here. Interest in climate, and they just kind of try to rephrase it in financial terms.
Right.
Shoehorn it, really.
And you can see it's kind of cheating, it, not just kind of. It's cheating as you read through there. You say, that's not really a financial matter. You've just typed in financial words to describe required climate disclosure policies. For example, this would require every company who's public to formulate climate-related policies and targets and goals about what governments might impose over the years, what might happen in their industry, and make them public.
Wow.
And that subjects them, and the idea behind it is that subjects them, that creates a basis for pressure in the marketplace for activist groups to start putting pressure on companies to take certain stands on climate matters. And I'll get in one last legal defect, although I could go all afternoon if you had the time, is it also violates the First Amendment.
Right.
And there is significant law in what they call the world of compelled speech, which is the government cannot compel actors, including companies, to speak on topics that are not directly related to some kind of very, very important government need. And here, the SEC is compelling anybody who wants to be a public company to make complicated statements about a topic that is not financial and that is also politically contentious.
And that could be disadvantageous to them economically.
Well, that's a good insight. That's right. So that's another reason that it's problematic. And that's also the First Amendment problem is also another reason that is also another sign that Congress in 1934 probably didn't anticipate giving the SEC the authority to issue complicated disclosure requirements, because it's unlikely the Congress would have granted authority that most likely violates the First Amendment.
Right. And so what happened in the district court?
Well, that's a good question. So this one started in the Court of Appeals.
Oh, okay.
When you're, as you know, when you're challenging, if you act fast enough, when you're challenging a rule that comes out of an agency, if you challenge it quickly in 60 days, basically, usually, you file what's called a petition in the Court of Appeals. And this, there have been a number of challenges filed by a number of different challengers.
Including the Chamber of Commerce,
Chamber of Commerce of the United States.
That's the lead. There are co-plaintiffs?
We've ended up filing jointly with them.
Right.
There were matters filed around the country. We filed ours in Philadelphia in the Third Circuit for various reasons. And under a statute, they were all consolidated in the Eighth Circuit.
I see.
And so we filed in the Eighth Circuit, and they're just to handle the case more rationally, they're all filed together. So the challengers have filed their briefs, and those are now teed up, really two main briefs, basically. And then And now the government will file its brief, and we'll file a reply, and we'll see where we are. So it'll all be handled at the Court of Appeals level.
And the Eighth Circuit isn't bad, right? That could have been much worse.
We like to think so. I mean, we have hopes there. I think we can, we'll see. But I think we can do well there. And so the next step we'll see, you know, the government will come back with more of what it did in its record leading up here, but arguing that it's necessary. And it'll be interesting to see as it has to hone its argument that this really is a financial matter. Investors right. really want this. They'll quote comments they got from mostly from climate-related groups saying that they want this information. And we've already argued that's not the same as investors saying, I think I don't know what this company's worth
right.
when I'm looking at my 401k.
Right. Just because right. a shareholder wants the information, it doesn't mean it's material to the purchase of stock.
Correct.
Right.
In fact, just because an activist shareholder in certain areas, it wouldn't have to be just a climate case, wants it, that doesn't mean that your average investor who's saying, I'm looking at all these investments for my 401k, I can't value these companies without this information. There's thin or very little suggesting that anybody has really thought that. And that ties to, again, the basic problem here, which is the SEC is not a climate agency.
Right.
It's a financial reporting and protection of shareholders agency, which is an important function,
yeah.
but it ain't climate.
Right. And if they can do this, I mean, the implications are pretty significant. They could require them to make, disclosures about their the race implications of whatever they do. Or
Yeah, they're trying to do that, too.
Yeah, I figured.
yeah. No. Like that's our Fifth Circuit case.
This hypothetical that sounds like it's probably happening.
That's exactly right. And that's why these kind of cases, that's why I started with the whole of government approach context. I mean, these cases, yeah. as Mark indicated, they're very important. This isn't just, as one great scholar put it, just whack-a-mole with going one after the other as they try to do this. It's creating a precedent that they can't roam across policy areas and ask different agencies. We went through this with OSHA, some other agencies, of course, over the last several years.
Right.
Who roamed into areas that they weren't authorized to regulate.
And people who don't realize that should realize when the other administration's in power, the other yes. parties in power, then they might not like the
Great point
the results so much.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Andy.
Thank you.